go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 14. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. You are feeling the ruminations of the Spirit because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts. Listen, guys, this is how it works. And he realizes for the first time, he overtly gets it. He's not nervous about what happened with the lion anymore. He's not nervous about Ashkelon. He looks in the rear view. God has blessed him. And now they have pushed his button again. And this time he says, I will be blameless. The Bible says in verse 3, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them displeasure. Verse 4 says that he caught 300 foxes. That took a while. This is 300 foxes. I've seen three in my life. You know, this guy's gotten about 300 of them. So this took some time. He had come up with a plan. He was committed to the plan. He caught 300 foxes, tied their tails together, put a little torch between them, ran them through a field, knocked out their grain. Listen, this is a big deal because they were Dagon worshippers. They worshipped the grain god. So he just wiped out their grain. He's just thumbed his nose to their god. And he's messed up their agriculture. And the Bible tells us that he knocked down, he burned up both shocks, verse 5, and also standing corn with the vineyards and the olives. So they've been decimated agriculturally. Then the Philistines, in verse 6, came up and burnt the woman and her father with fire. He burnt their whole family out. Oh, this is getting interesting. He takes out a field and they take out a family. I want you to know that's the way the devil plays. You know? You and I, we need to realize you're going to have pushback if you do something for Jesus. If you've gone out into a witnessing situation, sometimes all the world goes upside down when you get there. Sometimes people come. I was talking to one boy this past week, and he was leaning in. He was about 15 years old, and he was like, going with me through the track, you know, do you know for sure? And we were getting through, and his mother came and said, hey, Jimmy, come on with me. And I don't know if his name was Jimmy right now, but, hey, Jimmy, come with me. You know, it's his mother. He says, why? Because he's old enough to kind of feel like, well, why? You know, oh, well, we got to go. Really? We're going now? Because he's calling her. We're not leaving. We just got here. Well, yeah, little Susie's this. What happened? The devil threw his mom at me. But the neat thing was, is that I was going with him through a track and showing him things in the track that he could then take the track and continue and find the answer he was looking for. What I'm saying is the devil will throw things at you when you try to do things for God. So look on, it says in verse 7, and Samson said unto them, though you have done this, yet will I be avenged. Circle the word avenge. This is his conviction. His conviction, first of all, was, I'm supposed to do this. I get it now. They push my button, I'm going to go mess with their field. I'm going to go what? Pick a fight. I'm going to do this. You know, when you burn a field up, that's picking a fight. They're going to know who did this. When they did do a little, you know, research, that was Samson. Of course it was Samson. You took his wife. You gave him to his companion. And now, he says, I will be avenged of you. So he was acting in accordance with the Lord. And the Bible says, I will be avenged of you. There's a thing in the law of Moses that talks about the avenger of blood. Somebody kills somebody that's your loved one, you have the right of avenging the blood. It's basically connected to Romans 13. An avenger of blood, somebody killed your brother, you could go kill them if they're not running to a city of refuge. If it was proved that they killed your brother, you had the right of blood guiltiness and you could take their lives. That's powerful. That's how law was done. Capital punishment. And you know what? When it was all said and done, and you got your breath, you'd feel better because of it. Even though it would break your heart to have to do it. Because somebody killed your loved one. Somebody killed your husband. Somebody killed your wife. And you had the right to get it taken care of. Today, I heard on the radio this past week, a man was going to finally face the death penalty. I think it was in Texas. He was convicted of this crime in 1986. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that because the sentence is not executed speedily, the hearts of men are fully set in them to do evil. Isn't that a powerful verse? Makes sense, doesn't it? And I just want to suggest to you, he's getting on board now. Samson's been seeing it. He says, I will be avenged of you. And he smote with a great slaughter in verse 8. And he went and down and dwelt at the top of the rock Etam. He's up in a place, a rocky place called Etam. Then the Philistines went up and they came to a place called Lehi. By the way, the name Lehi, you can put it in your margin, means jaw. Means jaw, and you're going to see why in a minute. And the Bible says the men of Judah said to them, why are you come up? And they said, we came to get Samson. He's done us some wrong. And so then 3,000 men of Judah went up to Samson. His own people went up to him. And this time he's not confounded. He's got convictions. Doesn't matter what comes against him, he still knows he's in the right. And so they come to him and they say, you know, we need to take you down. What have you done to us in verse 11? And he says, I've done to them as they've done unto me. You know what that is? That's lex talionis. That's an eye for an eye. He says, I just did to them what they did to me. See the conviction? Do you know if you have the conviction of God's word, you can stand against all the kings on God's green earth? God becoming your great fear object cancels out every human fear object you might have to face. As long as you know you're in the right. I remember somebody said it this way, when you're wrong, you have no defense. When you're right, you need no defense. Isn't that good? He was in the right. And he knew he was in the right. He knew God had blessed him when he took out that lion, when he took out Ashkelon. He knew he was right when he burnt the field. And he knows he's right now when he takes down this group and he fights them and he makes a great slaughter. Well, the Bible says they came up to him from Judah, his own people, and said, I did what they did to me. They want to deliver him into the hand of the Philistines in verse 12. And it says, and he said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, no, we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into thy hand. Well, when he got to Lehi, in verse 14, the Bible says the Philistines shouted against him. You can imagine the mocking. Boy, we've got him now, right? Well, the Bible says again, and the Spirit of the Lord, verse 14, came upon him mightily. Circle it. Why? Because now, this is the big battle. These other ones were little skirmishes in one sense. I mean, he made a great slaughter a moment ago, but this is unheard of. One man fells 1,000. 1,000 people. And he does it without a sword. They have swords, remember? The Philistines had the ability of ironworks. These guys have no swords. He does it with the jawbone of an ass, the Bible says. It says the cords became as flax that was burnt with fire, so he gets loosed of his bands. Verse 15 says he takes the jawbone of an ass that is presently available, and he slew 1,000 men in verse 15. And then after he's all done, he has a moment to just revel in it. He said, heaps upon heaps. Heaps upon heaps. Yeah, 1,000 people is a lot of people. That's a pile right there. And he says, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, I have slain 1,000 men. And the Bible says, and it came to pass at the end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and he called the place Ramah Lehi. This is him renaming the place for this great deliverance. The name means height of a jawbone. Never has a jawbone done this much. Lehi means jaw. He's in a place called Lehi. He says height of a jawbone. He renames the place and actually christens it at that moment. And he was sore athirst, verse 18, and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given me this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. So he knew who did it. You see, you can't really look at him and think he's a bad guy yet. He's only done what was really put in his lap. He was confounded, he's found convictions, and he's acting accordingly. And the Bible says, he said to God, now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. He knew that he had had the help of the Holy Spirit. He gave God glory for that. And the Bible says, but God clave an hollow place that was in the Lehi. That was in Lehi, not the jaw. Don't think the jaw started spouting out some water. It was in Lehi. Same word, same concept. He claimed a hollow place in Lehi, and there came water there out. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Not the spirit. Now, may I conclude this by letting you know something. You have a spirit. It's an angst from the Lord. We all want to grow and thrive. We all want to do right in one sense. We just recognize at an early age that we have this thing in us called sin. We feel it. We don't understand it. We do things. We hit our brother. We feel bad, but we would deny it all day long because we've got sin. We feel bad. We know it wasn't right. We sense it, and we have an angst. We want to grow. We want to get to the next thing. Today, kids don't even want to get their license when they turn 16 because they're scared. Me, man, it's 12 midnight. Hey, get up, get up. I'm 16, let's go. You know, let's get my license. When our day was there, people would say when they're 18, they got to get out. Today, they want to live there forever. It's crazy, I tell you. But what we're seeing is that we're seeing in this section that his spirit was there. Your spirit, my spirit. We have a spirit. And the spirit should be one that is continually having some sort of buoyancy. You know what kills the buoyancy in the human spirit? Sin. You do something, you throw something in your backpack, it feels bad, it's heavy, but you can handle that. You do something else, you throw something in the backpack, it gets a little heavier, and after a while, you're like, man, you're 30 and you look like you're 45. You're 45, you look like you're 90. You've seen people. Sin weighs heavy. And what we need is we need freedom from sin, don't we? We need to be saved from our sin. What I'm saying to you is that Jesus made it very clear that he who offends one of these little ones, it would be better for him. At the outset of their lives, if you offend them, if you stumble them, if you scandalize those children, it would be better for you to have a millstone hung about your neck, cast into the deepest sea. Because God's angels behold his face immediately in the presence of Almighty God. He's watching over them, and if you scandalize them. So here's what we've got. We've got a generation of people scandalizing children. They're teaching them things. They're showing them things. They're watching TVs. They're listening to certain music. They're being taught there is no God. They're being told, don't go to church, not important. Or don't put that away. Don't read this. I'm saying to you, this thing about his spirit, that's a legitimate thing. He wanted the girl. He wanted to get married. He maybe didn't handle it well. Get her for me. But he was doing everything by the right paradigm. He even got it right in chapter 15. But the Bible says at the end that his spirit came again and he revived and he called the name thereof En Hakor, and which is in Lehi unto this day. Now here's the thing I want you to recognize. You have the power to unleash the spirit in your life. The Bible tells us that very clearly to Timothy. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You have the power to unleash that grace. How do you do it? You do it by your works for God. Think about that. When you're working for God, he's there because you're his hands and his feet. This is why Dorcas was able to be revived by Peter in the book of Acts. She had died. She was doing good works to widows. She wasn't this big personality, but when she died, it left a vacuum right there. And those women called and said, please come and do something. And he went beyond doing something. He didn't get another Dorcas. He gave them back Dorcas. That's pretty cool. Because her works mattered. And the Bible tells us in Titus that God has desired to create unto himself a people zealous of good works. We should be that. You have the ability through your worship. When you sing unto God, you unleash the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us. You have the ability to unleash the Spirit by your witness. And when you witness, he's there. Why? Because the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. Now think about it for a minute. You want to see God unleashed? Get out of your comfort zone. Go do something for God. He will bless you. You and I also have one other place we can really unleash the Spirit. And it's sometimes not chosen, but how we react to it is chosen. It's when you suffer. It's when you go through hard times. It's when there's persecution. The Bible tells us in Philippians 1 and verse 29, for unto you it is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. So if it's coming around the bend again, and it's been throughout church history that the church has been on the run, we just had it pretty good here. But if it's coming around again, as I said at the outset, we need to suit up. We need to put our helmet on it. The helmet of salvation. What is that? That's the conviction of our salvation. The helmet, the breastplate of righteousness, that's good works. It's protecting your heart, because if you do wrong, out of the heart are the issues of life, so protect your heart. Feet shod with the preparations of the gospel of peace, that you're ready to go give them the gospel. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of them that bring good news. Listen, guys, when we look at this man here, he's falling forward. And you will too. You will too. And when you fall forward, just get back up and keep moving forward. Because God is there and he understands and he knows what you're up against. He knows it's upstream. He knows the wind's in your face. And he would have you mount up with wings just like we see Samson doing. When he entered the fray, he was unstoppable. When David entered the valley, he was unstoppable. And when you and I enter the fray, we will be unstoppable. Will you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.